Confession and Virtue, a talk by Father Anthony Bernard at Eyewitness 2014, held at the Collaray Centre in Sydney.
What I want to talk about, obviously, I think you've been told, is about confession and the beauty and importance of regular confession and the idea of allowing confession to help us grow in virtue, because it's a very powerful sacrament. It's changed my life, and it continually changes my life. And I cannot strongly always encourage people to go to the sacrament. I myself, you know, growing up, and I'll talk more about it after as I go on, have appreciated when I've been able to go to confession. And so as a priest, I always make myself available any time someone asks me confession. Just even last night, I had a friend who works in the hospital, and he texted me, said, "Father, you're around." I said, "Look, I won't be back till 9, for we've got prayers at 9, then we've got mass at 9:30 at night." I said, "After that," and he said, "Well, you know, 10:30, she said, "Look, I'm in the church and normally talking to someone." And then he came for confession. He said to me, "Look, you know, nowhere can I go, and where do I have this availability of confession this time of the night?" And I know how much peace it brings myself and how much peace it brings other people. I want to talk about, and we'll talk more about this as we go on, and I'm going to be all over the place. By the grace of God, Holy Spirit works. What I want to focus on first, something simple. I remember my brother told me years ago, I've got three brothers and three sisters, big family. And brother said to me, "You know, if you tell someone to not to focus on blue hair, what are they going to focus on? Blue hair." I thought, interesting. He was trying to tell me something. But if you tell them to focus on beautiful curly wave hair, which I used to have, right? He says, that's what they'll focus on. And so the principle is, if you focus on who you want to be and what you want to become, that's who you'll become. If you focus on, well, you know, I always struggle with this and I'm hopeless at this and, you know, I'm never going to change. Well, you're not going to change because that's what you're focusing on. And what I want you to focus on as we go through this talk is what our true desire is. I know what my desire is. And yeah, it wasn't it the motivations and intentions and the wasn't pure at the start. But as you get closer to God, as you grow, your intention and motivation becomes more pure. So don't beat yourself up and think, "Oh, well, you know, I'm not being, sincere or fair income." It'll come. It'll come as you go. But you've got to start somewhere. Okay. And so let's go back to the point. The point is that I want you to focus on what kind of person you want to be. And I'm talking about the qualities of the person. This struck me, and I'm going to talk about a journey in my life. Because the other thing is, you have to be realistic too and say, well, okay, if you look at yourself and you've got to go and look at yourself in the eyes of God, you've got to say, well, this is not acceptable. This is not what it's meant to be. When I was 16, I went on a retreat. And on this retreat, I didn't want to be on. I tried to make every excuse not to go. And this priest was always trying to, friend of the parish, assistant priest of the parish, and he knew my family. We go to Mass every Sunday, and so he knew him well. And he tried to encourage me to go to this Antioch retreat. Didn't want to go, too shy, didn't want to be there. And I said to him, "Can't go, parents won't let me." He said, "I'll go ask your parents." I was hoping and believing they'd say no, but to my surprise, they said yes. So this Friday night, I was in this retreat and I felt totally uncomfortable, totally awkward and angry and didn't want to be there. I'm going to emphasize angry. Angry with myself and angry with the priest. But what was interesting was that you're stranded. You're there. And I thought, well, started to listen. And what was good was the people that were speaking, young people, they were opening up about their relationship with God, about how God has touched them, and, you know, they've done a turnaround. They had a transformation in their life. So that was 16 years and 2 months. So they were kind of 17, 18, 16, that age bracket. And I started to look at myself, and I started to think. And that was Friday night. And then all day Saturday, we had a person who shared. Then we had a little workshop, sharing group, and then some fun and games. And it happened a few times during the day. What was interesting was that the way they talked about their experience of God helped me appreciate how beautiful and how real God is. The problem is, as a 16-year-old person, as much as I believed in God, as much as I'd gone to church every Sunday, my heart was not there. I was going through a dark period. And that dark period started when I was 13. So up until 13, 12 and a half, 13, I was very much kind of a happy kid. And my mind and heart was in a good place. I was respectful to mum and dad. I've got three brothers, three sisters. Never fought with them. We had disagreements. We had, just little things. But what happened was, and I was I remember being a good place. What happened was, 13 years, it was year seven, come year eight, and a few things happened. One person in school, we're very good in this subject, and I was happy. I was to do well, and he wasn't so happy. And you can feel person's negativity. You can feel person's jealousy, and what happens? It affects you. It affects you to the point where you started to become very resentful towards a person, and the resentment turns towards kind of inner anger and bitterness and hatred. So I've really hated this person for about 2.5 years. We had a punch up in year nine or something. So I couldn't stand being near him. That festered. That really festered. And people don't realize how something as simple as that can fester. It can only be one person, but it festers. That was one. Second thing was, someone gave me a magazine that wasn't appropriate. And that opened my mind to the lustful world of, thinking about women inappropriately. And I became obsessed about it from year 8, year 9, year 10. And it was ugly, looking back. And so what happened, 16 years old and 2 months, and I was looking at myself. And I realized that the way I was treating my mum and dad was totally unacceptable. Disrespectful, totally unacceptable. And I was ashamed of it. I was fighting with one sister and one brother during that period of time. Before it wasn't, just during that period of time, it was very antagonistic. Every time in the same room, there had to be something negative said. We're fighting over changing the channel. It was unhealthy and toxic. And looking at it, I just realized, where did it go wrong? What happened? And, this hatred towards this person, this negativity, and you become self-absorbed and selfish and negative, critical of others and kind of demanding of God. That's where I was. That's what I saw myself, 16 years old and 2 months. And you know what? I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. And I realized that, and this was a bit kind of, how do I put it? A bit selfish on my part. Well, not, I didn't like where I was. And you know, my deep desire was, you know, I wanted to get married, okay? Wanted to get married. And I was always looking for a girlfriend. And during that period, when I was there, I thought, you know, I might meet a girlfriend here. And I was sort of kind of hopeful about that. And the two girls I met, and I liked their friendship. And what happened was, I looked at myself and I thought, you know what? It's ugly. And if I did find a girlfriend, if I did get married, you know, I wouldn't want them to see this side of me. I don't like the person I am. And so that motivated me as well to think, you know, I want to change. I want to change for myself. I want to be a better person. I want to be a nicer person. I want to be the person I was when I was younger. You know, if I met a girl today, then I said, I want her to see me before this period, because it was a nice period, and that's who I was. That's who God created me to be. And so that night, through the process before they were talking about reconciliation, before I went to confession to the priest, I was always saying to Jesus and God the Father, saying, "Look, you know, I want to be cleansed. I want to be renewed. I want to be purified. I want to love you with a pure heart. I don't want to be this person anymore. I want to treat my mum and my parents, my mum and dad, with love and respect. I want to forgive this person. I want to let it go. I don't want to hate them anymore. You know, that's God, that's your department. I just want to let it go. I want to not to think about women the way I've been thinking. I want mine to be pure. I want to be a better person." And I kept on, and as I'm talking to the God the Father, I was crying because I realized that I was lying to myself for those years. Because there was many times that I'd wake up the next morning and think, you know, I'm ashamed of myself. I want to be changed, but I never did. I kept in that same habit. And I realized that God, you know, this is, I can only do it with you, and I want to change. That was a turning point in my life. I went to confession. I never felt the same. It was probably the closest I ever felt to God ever in that period. For about 2.5 months, couldn't sin even if I tried. Even when I looked at a beautiful woman, my mind was so pure. It was beautiful. It's just a beautiful state. Just this, I remember being so close to God. And I realized that God is real. That Sunday, I'll just backtrack again. It was a Saturday night, the confession. The Sunday, I started to psychoanalyze myself. I'm thinking, is this real? I felt different. I felt good. I felt in a nice place. I thought, is this real? And I kept on thinking, maybe I'm feeling really nice because there's nice people around. Because let's face it, we only show a nice side in front of friends and strangers. When we're at home, our true self comes out. So I kept on thinking that, the only way I know this is real, like, you know, that pinch me experience, you know, the only way I know it's real is when I go home. When I go to mum and dad, when I go to my brothers and sisters, then I know if this is real. And I was thinking that all day Sunday. Come Sunday night, and it took me by surprise, I still felt this way. I really felt this peace. And the first thing I wanted to do with, I've got three brothers, three sisters, well, two of them are married, so they weren't at home. And so my older two and just younger one, and there's one that's 10 years younger, so he was still a kid. So just the three closer to me, and there was two of them I was fighting with. When I went home and, you know, we're talking, whatever, when I was sharing with them, I was sharing with them in a way that I said, you know what, you guys got to come to what I went to. You've got to come on this retreat. Because I can't remember what I said, but all I remember is wanting them to experience what I experienced. And that was it. That from that day onwards, we never fought. I never had just any desire. It was just totally this total peace. It took about 2 years to build up relationship, you know, trust. But it was like I saw the power of God work in my life at that moment. Very beautiful, very powerful. And I understood God is real. The second part is I understood the evil is real, the devil's real. And I wanted to be on God's side, not the other person's side. You know, and reconciliation. The God mercy, God's mercy is beautiful and you know, it's just, what can you say, it's beautiful. That was a turning point. What I realized was going into year 11 and 12, I took my studies seriously. And what I realized was that when I get caught up in my studies, which is not a bad thing because, you know, I want to do well, I realized that my focus, my prayer life was suffering. And when my prayer life and focus, my focus of God and prayer life was suffering, that bad habits started to come. And I noticed that temptation started to come. And I had to start to deal with them, start to learn how to basically grow in virtue, die, overcome vices, and grow in virtue. And so this was a journey of understanding the process of prayer. And prayer is fundamental. Your relationship with God is fundamental to growing. And then acknowledging every time I needed to go to confession. And I made a conscious decision to go regularly. I know that that was about 16, 8, 17, 18. When I was 21, I made a conscious decision to go every month. And if not, earlier, like in between. And I found the value of going every month. Because even times where I felt like, you know what, I felt frustrated myself, I felt angry myself, I felt, you know, the priest is always going to think, well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, what's the point? I'm not changing. And I had to overcome those negative thoughts and say, no, I need to do this, I want to do this, and it's the right thing to do. And I did. And I found that as you regularly go, and your prayer life has to be regular too. That goes without saying. And as you regularly go, I found that I was getting stronger, and I was overcoming weaknesses, and I just found that became, you know, part of your nature. And you don't only when you look back do you see how much you've changed. You don't even see it yourself, and sometimes people tell you, but it's beautiful to know and realize, you know. It's worth it. The struggle's worth it. The persistence, the perseverance, worth it. And you grow. And I cannot stress that enough. And you do overcome vices and they get weaker. But if we become proud and arrogant, they come back to bite us. And the key is always to be humble. Humble before God and humble before other people. Because arrogance and pride is the door to allowing us to get weaker. And it's people don't really understand how easy it is to fall into that trap. The devil hates humility. And you can't go wrong. It's not a sign of weakness. It actually takes a lot of strength to learn how to be humble. And when it becomes more and more natural, you become more relaxed. You become more yourself. You become more happy. And just, it's a beautiful gift, you know, the sacrament that we've been given, to use it, take advantage of it. I want to share something with you, this is the beautiful power of the sacrament. I work in the Camperdown parish, and one of the hospital chaplains, so I have the privilege to go to the hospital to visit people just go visit the people for their whatever situation they're in. And there was one man which I visited, and he was not interested. And, you know, he had a long beard, long hair, tattoos, just roughers. And, yeah, I went to go and say hello to him. And he said, "Father, not interested." Fair enough. Just walked on. 2 days later, I think I was doing that ward again, that area, and I knocked on the door. And as soon as I saw his face, I realized, in my mind, last time he was very kind of agitated and like a little bit really like negative. And I tried to kind of quickly realize, you know, okay, because I forgot and said hello, and I was going to quickly, you know, go away, you know, move on. And that was my intention, and I was trying to do that. And he said to me, "Father, can you sit down?" And so I sat down. And we started to talk. And he, I didn't know he had, I didn't ask him. I knew he was in hospital. I didn't know he had stomach cancer. So I didn't know how serious his situation was. But we were talking. And we're just talking. And he said to me, "Father, you know, you and me outside this hospital, you know, we could be mates, you know." That was a compliment. But that's nice. Yeah. And he said, "Yeah, it's really," he was really kind of, what's the word for it? Like he was saying that really proudly because he wanted to be my mate. And I said, I was talking to him about God, you know, and I find that, Even last night after I had that confession, 10:30, and then someone else was talking to me, then someone came into the church randomly, and the poor guy, his phone died and he needed to, you know, charge it. So he asked if he could charge it. And so he was charging his phone in the church last night. And it was probably about 12, quarter past 12, and then and I finished with this person, we're talking, and then I went to say hello to him, talk to him. And this is a problem with a lot of people. A lot of people have doubts. They have doubts, and that when they doubt God, then you're able to make excuses to justify behaviors or attitudes which you know deep down are not right. But you kind of, when you doubt God or you start making your own spirituality, then you start making up your own rules, right? Anyway, so as we're talking, this is exactly what he was saying to me. He was saying to me, you know, I was listening to Richard Dawkins and, you know, I listened to all his arguments and you know, it made me believe there's no God and nothing to live for. But his body language could tell he was not happy with that. But at the same time, and then as we're talking, he was sharing with me how, you know, he's not in a good place. And some of his behavior and attitude is not good. And it's interesting because I wasn't interrogating him. I was just talking to him and just sharing with him just how much I love God, like how much God's changed my life. And it's interesting for him to think and listen to that and sort of realize the lies and the ideas that's kind of he's been living by. And I find that a common pattern with people all the time. And that's what happened with this man in the hospital. As we're talking, he started to think about God. And I shared with him what I just shared with you, how God changed my life. And he said to me, and I said to him, "Look, you know, first I said, can I go for a cigarette, a smoke?" So on the wheelchair, took him downstairs, went outside, and went for outside the hospital and took him for a cigarette. And I said to him, "Do you want to have a confession?" Yeah, and he said, "Yes." And we had confession. That was Sunday afternoon. And took him back to his room. And then I saw him Wednesday afternoon. And he said to me, Father, I took him outside again for a cigarette outside the hospital. He said, Father, I feel guilty taking up your time. And I said, look, that's okay. I'm here for you. The other people, when I see them, that's you know, that will happen. But now this is time I'm here for you. He says, you don't understand. He said, since I saw you last Sunday and since I had confession, he says, I breathe better. I sleep better. I'm not afraid to die. And I made peace with my family. Monday, he asked the nurse to ring up and reconnect with his family. That was the last day I saw him. I got a phone call from his brother a week and a half later to say to me, whatever you said to my brother, I would say thank you. Because he always said that, you know, obviously, you know, it was that encounter. He said he died the other day. He was able to die in the nursing home where his mum was. And she was able to see him just after he died, just before she saw him. But that's just, I can go, I know I've run out, the time's up, and that's okay for me, but there, I just cannot stress the importance and the beauty of reconciliation. Regular as well. And I say something too important, okay? And this is what I do when people come to me for confession. I make them stop. I make them stop and I make them think. Because they'll say, Father, I did this, I did that. They're okay, all right, stop. They say, you have to say what you have to say. Then what I do, I make them go deep into here and here. Because what's important is, if you don't have your mind and your heart focused on what you, on who you want to be and who you want to become, and obviously, you know, what you're saying sorry to God for, and obviously, you know, you focus on the virtues, right? Go back to the blue hair principle, focus on the principles. You know, you want to be virtuous. You know, you want to have a pure heart. You want to be a humble heart. You want to be more honest. You want to be more, you know, more transparent, whatever. You focus on the qualities, the virtues that you want to be, that God wants to give you, that God's pouring out. And you say, God, that's what I want to be. Yeah, and I want to say sorry for my shortcomings, what I've done wrong. And I'm going to ask you, please, to heal, transform me, and for your forgiveness. But I really want to say sorry from my heart. And I get a person to do that, take as long as they want, 30 seconds, 3 minutes, because it's important to do that in reconciliation, to really obtain the most graces you can receive. Because they call it, in technical language, perfect contrition and imperfect contrition. And to be honest, I've done a lot of confessions that were imperfect. Didn't mean that I wasn't forgiven. It just meant that I didn't receive the power of the grace of that confession that I could have received. So something to appreciate, the value of confession, that when you do go, you try and make the most of it. And it's not easy at times, okay? But just to understand, it's a very powerful sacrament. And it's there to help us to, for God to give us the graces that we need to really grow and value the importance of penance too. Something important, I always plug this because it's given to us by Jesus himself, okay? I'll try to make this quick. A lot of you would know from grandparents and maybe your parents, and you should have them in every grandparents. If you've got a Catholic grandparent, she'll have a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, that devotion is a very powerful, very beautiful, very timeless devotion. And what Jesus said to Margaret Mary, and very profound when you think about it, he said to her, obviously he wants them to go to communion every first Friday. And to go to communion means you have to go to reconciliation. Okay, that's one. So in invertibly, right, like what he's saying is go to confession every month. And to double endorse that, that was said in the 17th century. In the last century, when Mary appeared to the children of Fatima and the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the first Saturday devotions, Mary told Lucia to have people come to confession every month. So that was said recently. So month in confession, I cannot strongly endorse and encourage as a minimum. Okay. Anyway, so keep that in mind. What Jesus said to Saint Margaret Mary is profoundly, this is what I've said, but this is from him himself. Jesus said to Margaret Mary, if you stumble, right, if you sin, whatever your sin is, he says, run to my Sacred Heart straight away. He said, run to my Sacred Heart, don't look at your misery, don't run away from me, run to me. Run to my Sacred Heart and say sorry. And when you say sorry, ask for the virtue that you desire that's opposite to the vice that you fell into. So ask for the virtue. Say sorry, ask for it, and then make an act of reparation. So do something to say, God, you know what, I'm fair dinkum. Yeah, I am sorry about this, and I want to do something to show. Might be whatever, small act of penance. It's a small act of reparation. Could be, you fast off something, you deny yourself from something else, you do something for someone, just do something. Or you do an extra rosary or a decade of rosary, whatever. Something simple. But that's from him himself. And, something to appreciate. Like I said, you guys got to eat and you talked up. Please make the most of it. And it's beautiful.
That was Father Anthony Bernard with Confession and Virtue. For more from Eyewitness, visit cradio.org.au.